The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. These days we're going through the Bible. That's basically what we do in this program. I might want to think of it as through the Bible for the 21st century and hopefully beyond, because that's what we do. We're going through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and book by book. And the project, Yahweh willing, we will complete it sometime in the next 5 to 10 years. Apparently, it's going to take that long. Right now, we're on our 10th book of the Bible since I've started the project over again several years ago. And we're in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. So Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. If you've missed any of these studies of the last 5 days of this study anyway, you will find the last 5 days of this study posted at my website, crosstheborder.org. There's no cost to listen to those. You don't need a subscription or anything like that. You can just listen on demand anytime you want at no cost. You'll also find there the other Bible studies that we have done. I suggest everyone start with Genesis. Of course, you can listen to this one, but in your own time or when you're working, download those MP3 files to your iPod or whatever MP3 player you have and take them to work with you and listen to them while you're working if you're a hard-working man out there. I know that when I used to work in the construction field, I would listen to the radio and Bible teaching all day long. Of course, we didn't have iPods and MP3 players then, so we didn't have the kind of convenience that you have now. Okay, we're going to jump into our study here, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, and I hope that everyone, as is possible, has their e-sword out, and for you that are working while you're listening to this, you can take mental notes, or if you're capable to take notes throughout the day of scriptures that you want to look up in the context. I want you to check me out. I want you to know that what I'm telling you is from the scripture, and I'm not going to misread it, and if I do, I'll correct myself, or somebody out there hopefully will correct me if you think my interpretation or my commentary as I go through the word is wrong. Well, I would like you to email me. You can find the email address at my website, crosstheborder.org. Put Cross the Border or my name, Nicholas, on the subject line so that I can identify the source and the reason for the email. Okay, here we go. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah. And perhaps I haven't covered the name in a few days, but the name of our Creator was obliterated from the King James Version more than 6,000 times. The Tetragrammaton, which is the name of the Creator, another phrase they use for the name of the Creator in Hebrew, is the Tetragrammaton, which is the name of the Creator. And we surmise you can find a document on my website that says the name of the Creator, and you can check it out for yourself, do your own research, see what you come up with. And hopefully you'll agree with me. If not, and you think I'm wrong, you know, please send me your research, your reasoning, and I'll definitely take a look at it. I am not above correction. But the name of the Creator, and if you have your e-sword open, you can look at the King James Version with a numerical, what is called Strong's numerical system, for tying the words that are translated in the King James Version into English to the original, or let's call it the Textus Receptus, the original language of the scriptures that were given by our Heavenly Father. Many people think that the King James Version is the Word of God. Well, to a degree it is, but really, if you want to be technically correct about that, in all truth, it is a translation of the Word of God. And there are obvious flaws in the translation, and as for the name, not being translated into his name more than 6,000 times, well, I would have to point to that church in Rome, the Vatican, for the reason behind that. And so we know where that came from. And looking more into it, I keep learning a little more all the time, but if you study into the original languages, the Greek, Jesus, and is very similar to the Roman Iesus, or Iesus, which is how they translate the name Jesus in the original 1611 King James Version. The name Jesus with a J, and Jehovah with a J, and all of those names with J came about at the end of the 1700s, yes, the end of the 18th century, by a revision by a biblical scholar out of, I believe, Cambridge University. I forget the man's name right now, but he updated the language of the King James 1611 version, and it became known as the Authorized King James Version, because it was authorized by several of the prominent Protestant Protestant denominations of that day. So that's how we have that, a little research, and you can verify all of that for yourself. So we have the name here, and I will use the name interchangingly, and sometimes I will say the Lord for emphasis when I'm reading the scripture. I'll just read the Lord, but sometimes it is proper to say the name. And behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah. Who saith it? Well, the Lord, as many people call him, from the King James Version of the Bible. But his name is there. It's the 3068 from the original Textus Receptus, the language of the Textus Receptus. It would be Yahuwah. And he says, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, Yahuwah, again, but this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. What's going on? He says, after those days, behold, the days come. So there are days coming. And he continues here. He says, I will make, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. After those days, and we're in verse 33, saith Yahuwah, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Now this can only be a reference to one thing. Here it is. It's still in the days of Israel, the after those days when it begins. And he says, I will make with the house of Israel after those days, I will make with the, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. That is a reference to the new covenant. The 70th week, 69 weeks had passed of Daniel's 70 weeks. The Messiah showed up on the scene, and the 70th week began. He ministered. He said, I have not come but to the sheep of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he was ministering to, in the time, at the end of the time, the very last week, to the house of Israel, in the time that was determined, as it was said to Daniel, for thy people Israel. And he said, this is the new covenant. That's what he said. So, but this shall be the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. See, those statements overlap. One is talking about the other, and one is the fulfillment of the other. And he says, but I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now he's talking about, he says, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. He was there, ministering to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He made this covenant, he shared this covenant with them, and he laid down his life, and he paid the price for their sins, and he rose from the dead, and he showed himself to thousands of that day, And then he ascended to be with the Heavenly Father, to sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And what this is referring to here is the grace that came by Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Because now he could put his law in our hearts. This is a referring to the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and they will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least of them in unto the greatest of them, saith Yahuwah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. And that's what happened by the cross, the shedding of his blood. And 50 days later, at Pentecost, his Holy Spirit, by the work of Yahshua, the Messiah, came and indwelt us. So we don't have to say to our neighbor, Where is the Lord? Tell me about him. No, because we have his Holy Spirit in us, and we know him, and his law is written in our inward parts. It's written upon our hearts by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. That's what Jeremiah is referring to here. Jeremiah takes the rest of this chapter from the place that we started today in verse 31 and 31, chapter 31, verse 31, and he speaks about a glorious time to come. And glorious time still to come. He speaks about the time that began when he showed up on the scene, the Messiah showed up on the scene and laid down his life and the indwelling, that grace that allows us to stand before a holy God, clean, clean from our sins, his righteousness imputed to us. We can stand before our Heavenly Father, white as snow, by the grace that he has given to us. He continues, And they shall teach no more, verse 34, every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yahuwah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You know, I'm constantly assailed by atheists and unbelievers and faithless men because of my ministry and some of the videos I've produced. But I can't. They say, well, give it up, man. You know, stop reading that Bible and putting your faith in a man in the sky and, you know, things like that. And some just cuss and some are just, very offensive in their speech toward me. But I can't give them the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Only he can give that to him. And I tell them that plainly. I said, I can't show you God. Only God can show himself to you. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. I can't help him. All I can do is testify. All I can do is be a witness. It's up to them to seek him with all their hearts, if they want to find them. But the unfortunate thing is that most people love their sin too much, and their sin is what's going to keep them. They're not willing to lay it down. They're not willing to repent. Yes, they know the law of God. That's why they seek license from the state to continue in their sin, because they don't find license from the supreme lawgiver of the universe. So they need lesser gods to give them laws which will give them license to continue in their sin. They're looking for absolution from a lesser God. And that's all they're going to get, because it's absolution and forgiveness without repentance. But without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sins. Sorry. Unless you repent to a holy God, you will never receive forgiveness, and you will never enter into his kingdom, and his Holy Spirit will never indwell you, and you will never know the truth. You will never see it. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Let's continue. He says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. All of us that have his Holy Spirit indwelling in us, we know him and we know that our iniquity is forgiven and that he will remember our sin no more. Even if we fall down, even if we stumble really badly, because of his indwelling Holy Spirit, because of our desire to continue in his kingdom, we're going to reach up every time and say, Father, take my hand, help me to walk without falling, save me from this sin, teach me obedience. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves roar thereof, Yahuwah of hosts is his name. Now here's an instance in verse 35 where it is appropriate to say the name because it's saying it is his name. And how can you read the Lord is his name? It would be like someone walking over and going and pointing at me and saying, the man is his name. Well, that's not my name. You know, they call me Nicholas. That would be calling me by name. So it says here in the end of chapter 31, verse 35, Yahuwah of hosts is his name. Verse 36, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahuwah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahuwah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahuwah. Well, of course, these are impossibilities. Israel will always be before the face of our Heavenly Father. Though out of it obedience, yes, I'm talking now about the posterity of the obedient, during Daniel's 70th week, the week prophesied that the Messiah came on a scene and he said, I have come not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And after he departed, after he died, was buried, rose from the dead, showed himself to thousands, the captives came out of the grave and ministered to those, and then they rose, of course, to the first resurrection, and Yahshua, he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, and his disciples carried on, they finished out the work of the 70th week, ministering to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then after the 70 weeks were up, the gospel went to the Gentiles, or the other nations. And Israel was ministered to just as the other nations were after that time, because the gospel went to all nations, including Israel. It was not just exclusively to Israel. That was the difference between during the 70th week and when the 70th week ended. And so the posterity of the obedient, those Hebrew men and women, those of Israel would soon include all of those who were grafted in. And yes, it included all of those who were grafted in before. That's right. Because when Yahshua set the captives free from the grave, all of those who trusted in the Creator, that lived according to his law, that walked by his statutes and judgments, that did everything they could to please the Heavenly Father, that walked in the truth of his light. Yes, there were a good number of them. There was a remnant of all the that were not Israel in the earth. And how about all of those that were before Israel was even born? Yes, they were grafted in too. That's right. They were grafted in. And they became Israel too. And we become Israel too. So if we read this, with that in mind, the posterity of the obedient, those who were actually the blood, seed, Semites, and Israelites, Hebrew men and women and children, okay, I call them the posterity of the obedient, because afterwards they weren't known as Jews. That's right. Out of obedience, they listened to the words of the Messiah, because he gave them instruction to flee Palestine, to flee Judea when they saw certain things, and so that they could escape the certain destruction of the desolation of the abomination which maketh desolate, that brought about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and Israel as a flesh and blood nation in the earth in 70 AD. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. I hope that you're being edified through this study. We're in Jeremiah. I would like to hear from you. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and email me there. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.